Thank you guys for coming. Today is the National Day of Encouragement. I don't know if you guys knew that. You guys are great. You guys all. I don't care what you've done in your lives, guys. I hope you did it well. Unless it was like molesting a kid or something. But you know what? Let's create great artists. So thank you for, you know, giving to the arts. Let's go ahead and start the show now.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab. Stab. Stab.
How are you, John?
Hanging in there.
Good. All right, good. Jamie, this is her 12th time on the show, I think, 12th or 13th time on the show. Mm-hmm. Jamie, she has a job. And Tyler Kenny, he's also a guy that, just nuts are being thrown onto the stage.
Dry roasted and salted.
Dry, that's good.
Good looking in.
Tyler Kenny, also, you may know him from his behind-the-camera work over at KOVR 13, or 31. He also scared me with, I thought one of his dogs died and tonight. How are you, Tyler?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back to the show. I think it's been a year or so. We've been trying to get him on for a year, but his people wouldn't have it. Jesse Jones, he's the guy there at the end, and he's on every show.
True.
He's our anchor.
A lot of undue pressure put on.
Yeah, everything he writes is brilliant.
No, and that's not true. But that's not true though. No, you're not helping. You're not helping at all.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Oh, don't.
Should be in L.A. making money. So, you guys, let's go ahead and start our first segment, if you will. Let's get the let's get our sound effect. Terry, back there. This segment is called "This Was Today." John Gamora, you're going to go first. On this day today, two incredible things happened. In 1847, the Mexican-American War, the Battle of something, began. While also on this date, 1976, Mexican-American comedian, actor, producer, screenwriter Louis C.K. was born. What did you do to commemorate this wonderful day of Mexican-Americanism?
First off, I'm super glad that you gave this one to me and not anybody else, because I feel like on this panel I'm the closest to eighth grade when we learned about this.
Okay.
The Mexican American War. So I started the day by Googling the Mexican American War.
Yes.
That's how I celebrated. Fun fact, Taco Bell does not have free Wi-Fi.
Do they have Wi-Fi you have to pay for?
They don't even have Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. They don't. It's not even.
I mean, it was just.
There's not even a network set up.
Let down. I stay for the cinnamon twists, though. But yeah, and then I just, like, when I was at Taco Bell, I had to leave and go to a place that had Wi-Fi. And, you know, when you're in a place with Wi-Fi, you get sidetracked pretty easily. So I watched all of FX's Louis. I illegally downloaded it all. Because even when somebody's doing it for the art and not for the money, I don't care. I'm morally bankrupt. And then I went to a flea market and bought a fake Louis Vuitton purse.
That's right.
Instagrammed a picture of it saying, look, haters, hashtag labels, hashtag money. Yeah. And then I realized that we fought this war for Texas. And I was like, they can have it back.
Okay.
That's all about right. It, guys.
That's it? All right. Thank you, John. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jamie Fernandez.
Yes, John.
On this date, 1953, then U.S. Senator and future President John Fitzgerald Kennedy married Jacqueline Lee Bouvier, I don't know, at St. Mary's Church in Newport, Rhode Island. Another occasion of note that shares the same date is the birth of American rapper Busy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony and the Bone Brothers in 1976. How did you honor this pair of occasions?
Well, John, this is the most unprepared that I've been for this show, but we're going to give it a shot.
All right, good.
I hand wrote this stuff. I decided to honor this day by contemplating my own lack of marriage and subsequent addiction to speed rappers, Bone Thugs, and Harmony. In true Jackie O fashion, I'd put on the prettiest hat I have, which is for me a sequins beanie purchased for 69 cents at the local liquor store, and see how many pizza rolls I could fit in my mouth while still murmuring the 1996 hit Crossroads until my German Shepherd, the only live-in partner I will ever have, put Perks's ear in concern.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Tyler Kinney. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Wonderful.
Thanks for asking.
On this day, 2012, the world lost two of its greatest assets in the same fucking day. Australian racehorse, Who Begot You, and Polish canoe racer, Rafael Pisiczcz. P-I-S-Z-C-C. I didn't even spell it right. P-I-S-Z-C-Z. What is it?
Pisiczcz.
Okay, thank you. Rafael, I'm sure you remember that day like it was yesterday. What did you do when you heard the news of?
I was stunned to lose these two greats in one day. I was stunned, and I was like, "How senseless for this tragedy to happen twice." I thought Poland had strengthened its bestiality laws. After that other racehorse fucked that other canoe racer to death. No one saw that one coming. Because who would have thought an intelligent canoe racer would put himself in a situation that ultimately ended with a horse fucking him to death? No one saw it coming. But Poland strengthened their laws on bestiality, and everyone thought that period of time was behind us. And then I heard the news that another canoe racer was fucked to death by a horse, and then that horse died of the inevitable shame that happens after you fuck a canoe racer to death.
Yeah.
It's 2014, and I just thought this wouldn't happen anymore. But apparently I'm wrong, because canoe racers continue to get fucked to death by horses. And then those horses die from shame.
Yeah. Well,
it's appalling.
Now, I knew your longtime girlfriend and her mother were going to come to the show. Was that one of the bits you did
not want
to do?
Oh, my God, I'm so glad they're not here.
They were going to come to the show.
It was so close. They drank too much and got tired. But I was like, she would have seen me saying the phrase, fuck to death by a horse.
Yeah.
As I said my vows.
That's all that would be going through her head.
Yeah, that image. You.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank
Sorry.
You.
I said some shitty things.
Jesse Jones, bring us home on this one. On this very date, 1944, 1967, 1978, 1980, four more great people share the same birthday. 1944, Barry White, mm-hmm. American singer, songwriter, and producer, died in 2003. Reuben Studdard, another actually German-American, who knew?
Sure.
Yao Ming, Chinese basketball player. And last but definitely not least, Jason Statham, English actor and martial arts artist. How did your white stuttered Ming Statham party go?
Well, well, today has just been chaos. I mean, it all started fine with a Lassie marathon in honor of the 60th anniversary of its debut on CBS.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed something.
I know how to Google things, too. But then when I swung by Bel Air this morning to pick up my special ordered ice cream cake, it all just went to hell. It was a pretty simple order, I thought. I wanted a silky, double chocolate cake, smooth, deep, rich chocolate ice cream, surrounded by a pretty good chocolate cake that sort of looked similar and you hoped would be as satisfying and fulfilling, but ultimately just left you wishing you'd gotten more ice cream. And I want it in the shape of a basketball with a big knife sticking out of it and written on it in cherry icing, my favorite Expendables 2 quote, "By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you man and knife." But instead of the cake I asked for, when I got there, they just gave me this plain chocolate sheet cake that read, "I have absolutely no idea what you want here. So happy condolences, uncle daughter, on your 8th graduation coma from all of us love Grammy." Then I had this whole stirring speech planned commemorating the anniversary of Kennedy's 1962 Rice University speech, also on this day. You know, the we choose to go to the moon in this decade and the other things, not because they're easy, but because they're hard. But then just as I was about to slam dunk the ceremonial opening tea biscuit, I opened my mouth, and instead of a velvety recitation of the opening spoken word section of the 1974 hit, "Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe," I just squeaked Seacrest out and had to avoid eye contact with my cats for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let this get me down. I've been assured that my pinata for tomorrow's remembrance of the 1974 debut of Chico and the Man, the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur, and the birthdays of Tyler Perry and Dave Mustaine, is stuffed with Necco wafers and ready to go.
All right. Jesse Jones. Tyler Kinney. Jamie Fernandez. John Gamora. That segment was called "This Was Today." This next segment is called "Write an Erotic Poem About It." John Gamora, you were given the task to write an erotic poem about dealing with people's bull. Tyler Kinney, you were given a poem, the task to write a poem about being attacked by a bull. Jamie Fernandez, you were given the task to write a poem, an erotic poem about the woolly bully. And Jesse Jones, you were given the task to write a poem about Bull from Night Court. Old people in the crowd. John Gamora.
All right.
Write an erotic poem about dealing with people's bull.
Okay. Dealing with people's bull. I didn't know what that meant at first. I was like, dealing with people's bull. Is that when the people like tell you about your day? It's like people tell you about you like dealing with their bull. I don't know. And I realized I never like read an erotic poem before. So I Googled it, and then it took me to a website where I had to confirm that I'm 18 before entering the site.
Which so you promptly canceled.
I canceled and left.
Yeah.
And I found a different route in.
Okay.
Here it goes. Your white dress slips down the small of your supple back, head adorned with jewelry of the royals. The words you speak move masses. Great solemnity slips past your lips, a dirge to say the least. Press down on me. You walk towards me, hot, firm. I don't want to give, but you press on. Brand me yours, dressed in gold. God, you are the voice. I tear at your skin, carving into you like a golden turkey. X, X, I, subject me to your law, your palpable. palpable.
Okay.
It's like a, when a pope says...
Huh. That's good.
I worked for like 5 hours today. Thank you.
Well, I'm hard, so it works. It works. But I'm hard all the time, so...
Thank you.
Jamie Fernandez. Write an erotic poem about the woolly bully.
The woolly bully.
Woolly bully. Watch it now.
Okay. All right. Hattie told Maddie about a thing they saw. It had two big horns, and the inner crustacean of genitals that bulls often have appeared raw. Woolly bully is a nonsense made-up term from a song, but the sweet bedroom eyes from a fictional animal could never be wrong. Maddie told Hattie that he had a thing for paws, and bestiality isn't illegal if you just use your jaw.
All right. Good. Good. I was, I'd like to say I was drunk when I wrote these prompts, but I wasn't. I was just up late. Tyler Kinney, please write, or please have written, an erotic poem about being attacked by a bull.
Okay. It was a love I couldn't have foreseen. A gate left open on a farmer's green. Me mending a fence. You standing proud, immense. Me pink in the sun. You, preparing to run. Your entrance was swift. My internal organs did shift. But the void you left in me, I found heavenly. And without control, I climaxed completely. You asked for it.
No, that was great.
It's an erotic poem about a bull, Doran.
Yes. Thank you. And
You're
I
welcome.
Thank you for it. Jesus Christ. What's happening?
Wow.
All right, Jesse Jones,
uh-huh.
Bring us home.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Please have written an erotic poem, in regards to Bull from Night Court.
Sure. I just had to pull this one out of my dream journal. Just been waiting for a time to use this. Better than new heart, superior to cheers. Night Court, I still miss you after all of these years. The reason stood 6 2/3 foot tall. That scene-stealing giant, smooth pate Richard Mall. The fans loved this goof, and I wasn't exempt. Wish he'd lead me to his chambers, let him hold me in contempt. Sure, maybe the show's star was wry Harry Anderson. One-liners and card tricks that all were so corny. But all I tuned in for was that great hairless Manderson. The simpleton bailiff who made me so horny. And oh, you can bet Larroquette made me wet. But from Mall, I could never get full. To this day, small claims court still pops a tent in my shorts. Richard Mall made me pull on my bull.
Great job. Sorry, that's sorry, how do I get to the... All right, that's the end of that one. Yeah, good job, guys. Why not? Why not some encouragement? Why not some encouragement for you? This next segment, it's called Location, Location, Location. Answer me this. Why should I come to your business despite its shitty location? John Gamora, you were given, you are the proprietor of a cell phone accessory store in the Congo. Jamie, you run a small food cart where you sell your famous street dogs on the Russian-Ukrainian border. Tyler Kinney, you are the manager of an IKEA in the slums of Dubai. And Jesse Jones, you're a cobbler that operates his business from a hot air balloon in an international airspace. John Gamora, you're the proprietor of a cell phone accessory store in the Congo.
I originally had a qualm with this one.
Yeah, I got a phone call about this one.
there are two Congos. Not sure if you guys are aware. I wasn't aware. There are two Congos, the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo. not sure if you guys knew that. Fun fact, now you know. Learn something every day. I did a lot of research about this. I Googled cell phone accessory kiosks at the mall. So, you know, this is the best that I can do. you guys, you know, there's like 80% of the Congo, like, rainforests are, like, still undiscovered. So, like, they, like, haven't even gone in there yet to, like, find all of those animals. So, like, you're going to need to protect your phone from whatever species are in there, you guys. Let's be real. From Lubumbashi to Bandundu. We got the hottest cases for your mobile devices in the DROC. That's actually a thing. They're like the DROC. Don't have a cell phone. Figures. cell phone cases make great dinner plates. Considering that 50.9% of Africa's population still makes less than $1.25 a day, you guys. This is a real issue that we're facing. Dinner plate sets, even at Ross, can still cost like $29.99, you guys. Donate today. Thank you.
John Gamora. Jamie.
Yes, John.
Bring us halfway home. You're halfway there. Jamie, you run a small food cart where you sell your famous street dogs on the Russian-Ukrainian border.
Right. I hope you guys know what's going on in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. Are we all on board with the news
NPR?
Lately? Because I educated myself for this. Feeling a little run down by civility, lawfulness, safety, and the boring standards of democracy? Come get hot dogs on the front line of the Russian-Ukraine conflict. When you arrive at the airport, you'll be greeted by a gaggle of camouflaged, scary, fucking-looking squad men toting automatic weapons who are there to... they're there. Actually, no one really knows why they're there. but they're there. Don't get scared yet, though, because if you make it out alive, you'll be able to tell everyone in the western parts of the world what an armed invasion really looks like. After that, check into your hotel, where large, colorful portraits will allow you to stare into the dead, soulless, probably gay eyes of Vladimir Putin. grab some of my hot dogs before heading out to Ukraine's parliament. But don't expect to get a glance of their president because no one knows where the fuck that guy is. Looking for some activity? Military activity? Take a scenic trek. Hang on, sorry. Take a scenic trek out to Crimea to catch a glance of some of the best pro-Russian forces, massive losses, and intolerant hates you've seen since the 2014 Olympics. Crimea River. yep. And the Russians will build a bridge, cross it, and hold your friends and family hostage. sure. Pack your mittens and hand-knitted San Francisco Giants beanie, but don't forget your hammer and sickle bikini because the Cold War is really heating up. when you return... you like that? that. When you return to the States, you'll be able to share your informed, enriched opinions with all of your friends and family, which will likely be that you still don't get it. Russian and Ukrainian people both look and sound equally weird.
It's true. It's true. Pretty good. Tyler Kinney, you're the manager of an IKEA in the slums of Dubai.
And why should you come to my business?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question.
Okay. Picture yourself, and you're riding on a jet ski on a sunny Dubai day, and everything is perfect. Or rather, it would be perfect, but the heir to the Bumblebee tuna fortune made some smart-ass crack about the interior decorating in the foyer of your mega yacht. Because he's a prick. Fuck that guy. You want to show him who's boss. So you crank a hard right on your... Oh, I had a good pun. And I lost my... Oh, here. You crank a hard right on your water steed. It's not a pun. I just imagine it'd be funny if you had a jet ski and you called it a water steed. You know? You crank a hard right on your water steed and you head into shore. The sand is approaching. But just at the last minute, you catch a rad wave and you jump over the beach and you sail into the slums surrounding the city of Dubai. And you sail along, thump, thump, thumping along the sun-scorched backs of the mud people. Just as it actually starts to bum you out a little bit, you see something approaching on the horizon, and it's a blue monolith. And could it be? It is. It is. 99-cent soft serve. Particle board. It's the IKEA Dubai. Now you can really show that bumblebee tuna dickhead a thing or two about interior design. That's all I got.
All right. Yeah, all right. Now I don't want to eat bumblebee tuna. Now that I know that guy's a dick, I'm just like, fucking asshole. All right. Jesse Jones.
Uh-huh.
You know, just pick us up and bring us home. You are the cobbler that operates his business from a hot air balloon in international airspace. Make us want to come to your business.
All right. What you do with your shoes is your business. What I do with your shoes is mine business. Climb aboard Shoepocalypse Airship Zero, where your every foot-covering dream is a reality ready to be made true. High above the rules of man, untouchable by court and extradition systems of any nation below, your only shoe limit is your ability to face the man in the mirror without throwing up all over your brand new stretched dolphin eyelid loafers.
I feel like
with the spotted owl plumage lining. After seeing how the sausage is made. And you don't have to worry about exploited child labor on Shoepocalypse Airship Zero. All of our Malaysian orphans on site are cared for just like members of the family. That is, right up until the second that you hand choose your pair, hatchet open their rib cages, and slip your tootsies into the very definition of luxury footwear. You've never known comfort and style until you've felt the squish of child organs between your toes as you tromp around in your very own pair of freshly murdered runaways on your feet. If you're quick enough, you can even get a few seconds of what warlords caked in the blood of innocence like to call the final moment's foot massage. As their hearts slowly come to a halt around your warm, pampered arches. It's a feeling usually reserved for mad kings and the grotesque tyrants of tribes undiscovered by civilized society. And it can be all yours here at Shoopocalypse Airship Zero, where the only horrors you'll have to endure are trying to choose just one pair.
All right. Great job. That was location. I feel like the crowd's response was like a 1930s like umpire that made a bad call. Let's go! Come on, Blue!
You blind Blue, come on. Yeah, that was outside.
Yeah. All right, guys. You having a good time so far?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Four people. That's nice. It's mattering. All right, this next segment is called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and Non-Fictional. John Gamora, you were asked to write the dating profile of a jaded 48-year-old widowed mother of six. Jamie, you were given the dating profile of Ray Rice. I gave it to the lady, guys. I gave it to the lady. Tyler Kinney, the Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary. Ray Rice got more of a response. Jesse Jones, you were given the dating profile of a small portion of quiche. That's, we have to write it from the perspective of. John Gamora.
Yes.
A jaded 48-year-old widowed mother of six. Let's hear that dating profile.
Realistic, materialistic 449 is on the dating scene, you guys. Just looking for an Esteban to my Nancy Botwin. JK just trying to just trying to not get my range repoed. Let's be real here. My husband died of an aneurysm. Nothing really funny to say. Just the fact that we weren't really ready for his death. Didn't get a chance to plan it out. You know, life insurance would have been smart. Not a forward thinker here. I'm basically just looking for a man to fuel my kids' constant need for material possessions in the wake of my husband's death. Hey, and my own, too. Let's go over about what I know about my kids here. I got Kevin. He's 20. He's at Chicago State, and I've already paid for four abortions. Nick, who's 16, probably gay. I like him. Carrie's 14. She's a vegetarian and lives on nothing but Morningstar chicken strips dipped in buttermilk ranch. Talk shit about her siblings, though. She's like a champ. Holly, who's 9. Who? Cole is 12. Loves his Xbox. And our littlest one, who's 2, Donatella. My biggest mistake, I thought. Let's see. Interests include speaking to managers, getting convinced by my gay hairstylist to get a bob haircut, haggling at department stores, and trips to Morro Bay in the Mazda 5. Things you guys should know about me, I'm still fun. Interests include fundraisers, potlucks, and my self-started charity. Help people, I think. Dislikes include when kids spill things in my Valentino white bag. Realizing the severity of my situation. Things I can't live without, my Range Rover, and my 19-year-old Venezuelan pool boy.
All right. Very good. Jaded 48-year-old mother, widow of six. See, I told you, John. You'd be fine.
Fine.
Jamie.
Fine.
Dating profile of Ray Rice.
Ray Rice. All right. Ray Rice, about me. After a ridiculous bout with my employer, I've decided to move to an isolated, low-populated area with few neighbors and get in the dating market again. Me, athletic, charismatic, with an innate ability to make you feel simultaneously like the most important woman in my life while slowly eroding the deepest parts of your soul. A real chameleon. I'll lift you up 1 second before subtly criticizing your friends, family, life choices, color of your eyeshadow, and length of your skirt, and how quickly you can come back from a clean clock to the jaw. You, well-groomed, moderate to low self-esteem, distant from relatives, confused, and possessing the ability to produce only slow, muffled screams. Leave the drama in the elevators, and I will literally love you more than anyone in your life can ever love you. If you're looking for the kind of bond that produces shattered glass and unwavering addiction, hit me up. Because no one will ever love you like I love you, and if you leave me, I will kill your dog.
All right. I got sad. You got very... Great job. Great job. Tyler Kinney. Virgin Mary.
Single mom. Okay. Single mom looking to leave another set of footprints on my walks on the beach. I'm a loving woman with a big heart. You might have seen it, actually. It's usually wrapped in thorns and set on fire and airbrushed on the hood of a lowrider. Or tattooed on the chest of a woman who loves attention but hates her father. I'm the outdoorsy type. I love strolls through the desert, donkey rides through the desert, camel rides through the desert. I love a good night's stay in an inn, but I'm not afraid to sleep in a barn. I'm looking for a shorter man, as I'm always seemingly looking empathetically down and to the right. Always ready for a hug. Vasectomy is a must. Kids are great, but I'm done with that chapter of my life. You might have read that chapter. It's called the Book of Luke. He's Christian.
Yeah.
But what they didn't write about was raising a kid with an emotionally distant man who developed an inferiority complex after I had a little one-night stand with the creator of the universe. But that's all in the past now. Newly single, just a good old girl from Nazareth trying to get her groove back in the city that never sleeps, Damascus. I like a good white wine. I stay away from the reds because sometimes it's the blood of my son. $420, okay. Just kidding. If I knew how to read and write in my time, I would be stoned to death. That's it.
All right. A little background to that. The prompt I actually sent him, because I'm an idiot, I said the Virgin Mary's first boyfriend after God, which would have been Joseph. And then you called and you're like, this isn't funny. I'm gonna do something else. And so I'm glad you did. Great job. It was really funny. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Jesse Jones.
Yep.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, no, so am I.
Please read your dating profile from the perspective of a small portion of quiche.
Okay. This is a profile from sameplate.com. It's a dating site for foodies, matching people by what they eat. It's a real site.
All right.
These are the links we go to. User frufruomelet88
age 40 minutes at 425 degrees. Relationship status separated. Yeah, yeah. There's puns, people. Ethnicity white. It's a healthy choice. Looking for any gender. Foodie trends you like: organic, mayo freak, and ketchup on everything. Food-related ailments and allergies: shellfish allergy. Body type: voluptuous. About myself, let's just drop the pretense here. We both know what we're here for. I want me in your mouth. I am sticky and moist for you. Just fucking eat me. I want to feel my huevos tickle your tonsils as I slide down your warm, waiting throat. I want my juices to run down your chin while you moan in ecstasy as my sweet, tart flavors dance across your tongue. Pass me around and share me with your friends. Everybody can get their taste. But be sure to save a little for yourself. When you're all done, wrap up what's left of me and toss me in the fridge. I'll be good for breakfast tomorrow, too. Fatties, welcome.
Great job. Dating profiles are fictional and non-fictional. Yes. This brings us to our final segment. Our final segment of this lovely episode of Stab. I think that's like the best segment we've ever had. All of you guys, thank you for being a part of that. That was really funny. Reorganization. That's the next segment. Reorganization. Take these existing acronyms and reimagine them. What do the new acronyms stand for, and what and who do they represent? John Gamora, you were given PTA. Jamie, you were given IBS. Kenny, you were given LAPD, and Jesse Jones, you were given ALS. John Gamora, what does PTA now stand for and represent?
It now stands for actually two different things.
Okay.
You know, sometimes conflicting things can share the same acronym without intending to. The first one is Patriarchy-Themed America. With the current rise of feminism and women acceptance, the PTA is pitching an alternative to girls rule, boys drool. This may seem a bit out there, but men can do everything better. Please support our cause to bring patriarchy back to America. But there's also Pussy Time, America! And that is a radical feminist group that likes marching on people who are marching on abortion clinics. So yeah, they're a little bit conflicting.
Yeah.
Great
Pussy
job.
Time. America. Pussy Time America.
Pussy Time. There's a con.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the new name of this show. People will be here every week. Jamie.
Yes.
You got IBS.
IBS. IBS now stands for Irresponsible Black Stepdads. Charitable funding for PACs of Newports, trips to Indian casinos, and statutory rape attorneys.
Is that all?
That's it.
That's it? I'm so glad. Wow, I didn't think I would be as nervous.
It makes you long for the days of Pussy Time America.
Yeah, yeah. I remember a few shows ago we gave out NAACP, and I cringed at even just the thought of anyone taking that. But now I know to avoid IBS from here on out.
I also was thinking interracial butt sex.
Yeah,
that's so much more wholesome.
Yeah. That would have been less racist. Fucking racist. It's okay. Your last name's Fernandez. you could say that. Tyler Kenny.
LAPD.
LAPD.
Light aircraft puke dispersal. And that's just what you call it when a drunk Vietnam vet in a crop duster showers the freeway traffic with bottom shelf whiskey and regret.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. Jesse Jones, this is the final part of our show. So would you mind if I asked you to bring it home?
Sure. Okay. This is the appropriate time.
Would you bring it home right now with your acronym, ALS?
Absolutely.
ALS.
And as usual, I have overwritten it.
Wonderful. It's good.
Every time everybody else does some smart two-line things, yeah, it always makes me feel like an asshole when I come in with a pap. ALS is actually a common Hollywood term, which stands for Ambiguous Lineage Syndrome, also known as Lou Diamond Phillips disease. So named for the most famous sufferer of this affliction. ALS is actually a disease that plagues those interacting with the afflicted equally as much as those suffering with it. Ambiguous lineage syndrome makes it very difficult for racists and bigots to properly identify the carrier's ethnicity, causing often embarrassing slur and or stereotype mix-ups. One of the upsides of the disease is the ability to portray wide varieties of different races in film and television. A sufferer of ambiguous lineage syndrome could, for example, comfortably and believably portray a wide variety of non-white figures, ranging from the young Hispanic heartthrob of the early days of rock and roll to a knife-throwing Navajo gunslinger in the Old West, as well as any number of small Hispanic and Native American police detective parts across decades of failed TV pilots and direct-to-video features. The effect of ALS differs wildly from what faces the unfortunate sufferers of AIDS in Hollywood. AIDS, of course, stands for Acutely Identifiable Descendant Syndrome. As recently seen most painfully in the case of Chin Han, also known as, hey, it's the guy who plays all of the untrustworthy Chinese guys in suits in the superhero movies.
Jesse Jones, Tyler Kenny, Jamie Fernandez, John Gamora, ladies and gentlemen, Stab is over. Wow.